Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hear that? That is the sound of me drinking Ryan Williamson's tears. Welcome to Falkirk Daft. I'm John, your host, and I'm ever as joined with the Ginger God of Pod himself. It is Mr. Ross Wayne, and we both have a beer in our hand.
Absolutely, a wee Sunday night beer. Can't beat it.
Sunday night beer, celebrating a last-minute winner for the Bairns. There is nothing better than that. Everyone, I'm sure. It just makes the beer and the wine and everything taste so much sweeter on a Saturday night, doesn't it?
It does indeed, and then as you say, when you add in some of Ryan Williams's salty tears, perfect.
I know, I have to say, I felt sorry for the big man. I mean, I get why he was booed. He came here for a couple of seasons, hardly kicked a ball. You know, had that worldy go against Peterhead, and that's about all he did. And, you know, I get why people booed him, but I did feel sorry for the big chap. You know, he'd had a hard week at Montrose High School, putting out the cones, and then to be thrown in and booed by the South Stand mercilessly for 90 minutes.
I know. Listen, I do get it, and you don't like booing players.
I have to say, I never boo a former player. Never boo a former player.
Well, never at all. You've never booed a former player. What about Callum Higginbottom?
Sorry, Callum Higginbottom. There's no former player I've ever booed. Because I always figure they've done a service for the club.
That was the problem with Ryan, though. He didn't really perform a service. He was work shy. His antics on Saturday, even though he was booed, right? People are saying, well, if you give it, you need to take it and stuff, which is absolutely right. However, let's not predict. He was trying to waste, obviously, he was wasting time.
Adjusting his socks.
This kind of stuff. And then, obviously, I know we're going to talk about the goal in the game and stuff, but obviously, having watched the goal, the third goal back like 50 times, Brad Spencer running past him, just going like that, was absolutely beautiful.
It was good. I mean, we were all like last night, I think every single Falkirk supporter was just waiting to midnight. Why? I mean, I've seen a few point people like SPFL Media Watch as well, like, they'd put up saying they're waiting until midnight to see the goal. Come on, fuck. We live in 2023 and you have to wait till midnight to see your team's goals. I mean, it's not
just a Scottish thing, I take it, because down south you can watch like the goals back from like 6 o'clock or half six, can't you?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, that needs to be sorted out. I mean, if you're up, the guys who do Falkirk TV, I'm pretty sure, I mean, you see how quick they've got the interviews turned around for after the game. Come on, fuck. Really, there's no need for it. But listen, brilliant. We'll get into the game in a bit with our guest host. You've had a bit of a week out with airports and that, haven't you, Ross? You've been stuck down in London. I've seen your tweets of just despair of being stuck at airports and then moaning about WH Smith fridges.
Yes, well, no, do you know, the last few weeks, obviously, I have been away quite a bit with work, Birmingham and London and stuff. This week, I had the misfortune, though, of trying to get home late on Friday night.
It's a nightmare, that.
It's obviously a delay to the flight, which sometimes can't be helped. But I just think, see how they interact with you and how they... And obviously, it's Heathrow, Terminal 5, so it's British Airways, so I've got the monopoly there. And... yeah, just one disaster after another. So I was due to land at Glasgow at like 9:15, and it was nearly midnight by the time I got back. And to then top it off, there was then roadworks on the M8 between the airport and just at the Ibrox cut off. So I had to drive through Paisley at midnight on a Friday night, which is never actually...
Never a good idea.
Needless to say, the doors were locked and got through it as quickly as I could.
Brilliant. Well, listen, it's been a hell of a week. We've got there and then, and we've got 3 points on the board to celebrate as well. We'll get into that in just a bit, like I say. But first of all, thank you once again to our sponsors, Haldane Construction. They didn't win anything. We teased it on last week. We're wondering if they'd won anything. Unfortunately, they didn't win at the FM Builders Awards down south. What kind of accent was that, by the way? But listen... good, they were rightly there in the first place, you know what I mean? Peter and the team do a fantastic job. Again, doing so much around the community. I saw them sponsoring a walk last week as well, the Access to Justice walk around Falkirk, which raised over 800 quid. And they were sponsoring that and all over that. So listen, they do so much, and as you've said, they do so much at the club. Peter's really got behind Falkirk this season. And listen, if you're looking for a construction service, they're the boys to go to. I keep telling you, get stuck into Peter. Been in the Central Belt for over 2 decades, domestic extension, new builds, all that shenanigans. Get in touch with them. If you're thinking about putting something on the side of the house, you know, maybe you're thinking about a little conservatory, or maybe you're thinking about a full big extension, getting that kitchen just that little bit bigger, you know, getting one of those fancy island things in the middle. Ross will have one of them. He's made them on
island. No, but I think my missus would want one.
Exactly. Well, listen, you speak to Gillian, right? And you just say, listen, I want you to speak to Peter and the boys. I'm going to get an extended kitchen, you know. You know, Ross makes the big bucks. He'll get the kitchen extended, and he will use Haldane Constructions because they offer a professional quality and ethical construction standards, won tons of awards, and they'll take a collaborative approach to design, budget, and management of any of your projects. So they'll be all over it for you. They have a great line of communication. And like I say, they're award-winning, man. They win all the awards, apart from that one in London. But they were there. They were there. And that is who you want to get in touch with. So hit up Peter and the team over there. Quality loyalists at the heart of their business. Get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Insta, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. They're all over that as well. Just fire in Haldane Construction into the search bar. Or drop them an email, info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Right, listen, Fortress Brockville. A lot of people talking about it. I've had a few people coming up to me and saying they're heading along for the night that we're having at the Enshire, Ross. You looking forward to it?
Very much so. A wee bit nervous as we talked about last week, but it will be good. I spoke to Graham Carbis during the week. I can't remember what day it was, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday. And he was saying that there's over 150 tickets sold within the first number of days. So that's brilliant. The capacity, I think, is about 300. So half the tickets have gone. That was 4 or 5 days ago that I got that update, so it may have changed now. But it's going to be a cracking night. And as you say, it's all going to raise much needed money for the full reintroduction of the academy.
Absolutely. It's happening the 17th of November at the Enshire. Speakers, special guests on the night who have been interviewed by myself and Ross will be Sammy McGivern. What a man. Tiger McLaughlin, one for the older boys, absolute legend of the club. Really looking forward to find all about Tiger. And the hard one of the hardest men ever. Has there been a harder man that's played for Falkirk than Davy Nicholls?
Maybe not in our lifetime. Maybe up to
Yogi, Big Clarkey, potentially.
Yogi, Clarkey,
the midfield maestro himself, Davy Nicholls, will be there. And the one, the only, he's got a stand named after him, for God's sake. Crunchy, Kevin McAllister, will be there. And we'll be chatting to all four of them on stage, reliving some brilliant memories from Brockville. And also, you know, just about their career. Like, I'm really interested. I want to hear the funny stuff. I want to hear all the dressing room antics, you know, whatever. I mean, Kevin obviously has been to the club so many times. He'll have some brilliant stories. Super Sam, we all know Super Sam. I'll talk. And Davy Nicholls, I mean, he played in a great team as well. You know, he was in a brilliant team. So it'll be great to hear those stories. And you can hear them at the Inshira, 17th of November. Hit up the club now. It's 35 quid ahead. You can drop them an email. You'll get the tickets on the website or check out the club's socials. We'll put it on our socials as well. Or drop them an email, marketing@falkirkfc.co.uk. And we'll hopefully see you down there on the 17th. Me and Ross will have a bit of Dutch courage before we get on stage, I think.
I think it's needed. It will be needed that night, yeah.
And then afterwards, a few drinks at the bar. So hopefully see you all down there. That'd be great. Not much in the way of club news, Ross. Couple of loanies going out, a couple of the young boys. Quite disappointed, actually. Scott Honeyman went back to the Shire. He was voted their Young Player of the Year last year. Obviously, yeah. Had great success there, and he's away back there this season. I'd like to have seen a wee bit more of him in the Navy Blue this year.
I would have as well. The early games that we've seen him playing, I thought he looked as if he's got something about himself. But we do have quite a bit of cover in the forward line, so I can understand Joe McGlynn thinking we'll get him out on loan for a bit. Is it for the full season, or was it just till January? Or
Until 14th of January, yeah.
Right, so that's not too bad, which probably ties in with Ethan Ross going back to Raith Rovers. So brilliant experience for him. Obviously, it's the Lowland League, so maybe in an ideal world, it could have been maybe a League 2 team, but I'm sure he'll be getting stuck in. And in fact, I think the early feedback I saw online was that he did very well on Friday night in his first game back. So, yeah, good luck to the guy.
Brilliant. Good. He's certainly one for the future, Scott. Reese Walker as well. He's John Kamen Jr.'s on loan until January. I actually saw today that Andy Rogers has left as an under-20s coach.
Yeah, I saw that as well. I saw Andy had tweeted that he was obviously looking for a new opportunity. So hopefully, it'd be great to see Andy back in football again. He's got a lot, massive experience, big Falkirk guy.
Big Falkirk. I mean, you see him at the games as well.
Yeah, exactly. His family, full family are into the Bairns as well. So
love to get him on the podcast at one point. You have a chat with Andy, that'd be great. We need to start doing more interviews. We need to speak to some people. Don't worry, piss over walking on Hope Street's ground too. I noticed this week, got Gareth Hutchison if you want to hear a bit of Gareth. He's on walking.
It was brilliant. I would have listened to it anyway, but I had even more time to kill at Heathrow on Friday night, so I managed to give a proper listen without any distraction, and it was a brilliant listen. So fair play to the guys.
Brilliant. So give that a listen as well as us as well. That'd be great. Listen, every month on the podcast we have a draw for the Falkirk Supporters Society, and this week is this month no exception, and we've got some brilliant prizes as ever to give away. Ross, what have we got?
We do. In third place, although by no means least, we have our now traditional Falkirk Daft bucket of beer, which would be taken as part of a couple hours in the Brockville Bar in the Kane McAllister stand. We've got a behind the wall voucher, as regularly donated by Brian Flynn and the guys. I saw Brian was awarded, I think, licensee of the year.
I did. Congratulations to Behind the Wall. And Brian, obviously a top lad, puts loads into the club. Shared the taxi with him coming back from the national gig last Sunday. I met him in the queue and I said, "Oh, Brian, you going up to Kinnaird?" And I grabbed a taxi with Brian he's a top lad, Brian.
He is indeed. So, no, brilliant gesture as always from Behind the Wall. And last but not least, the club have, as they have done many times before, donated boardroom hospitality for two people at a future home game, which in the current climate with how the season's going would be a cracker of a day out, you would assume. So,
absolutely.
So, but yes, we've got, I think we mentioned, you've got your now famous Ukrainian girls.
I've found a different number, Jen. It doesn't have Ukrainian girls on it. It's fine. Yeah, let's call it up. We've got 718 members on in there at the moment, and we're going to fire up. So first of all, the Falkirk Daft bucket of beers is going to hit the number 136.
136 is a Vicky Jameson. Well done, Vicky.
Well done, Vicky. Full bucket of beers heading your way. One of the home games in not too distant future heading your way. Right, okay. This is for the Behind the Wall voucher. And I'm hitting the number. It's 271.
271. We have an Andrew Bell. Well done, Andy.
On you go, Andy. Andy Bell. Not
That used to be an Oasis.
Oh, it was Andy Erasure as well, obviously. Uh-huh. There you go. There's two. Andy Bell, Erasure, and Oasis, of course. Yeah. And Andy Bell was also in Ride. There you go. Fantastic. You need to know that, Ross. Right, okay. And finally, this is the big prize, the Boardroom Hospitality. It's going to number 14, one of the early adopters.
Wow, okay. Number 14. We'll need to... There's obviously a lot of 14s in here, so we'll keep skipping until we get back to the top. Scott Heron. Well done, Scott.
There you go. Scott Heron off for a bit of Boardroom Hospitality. Nice one, Scott. Enjoy that. Listen, that's said and done. We thought we've been probably very reminiscent on this podcast. I mean, we do mention the Falkirk Women's scores when we get them. Charlie, one of our listeners, keeps us updated on everything. She does that on the Discord. If you want to hook up with the Discord, all the details are in the link on the podcast link, so you can join the Discord. It's basically just it's like Pineball. It's just a fans forum, a lot of Falkirk chat in there. But yeah, we've not had a real focus on it, so we've decided to change that this week on Falkirk Daft and get right into the Falkirk women's team, find out all about how they're getting on this season. And we've invited to the podcast their captain. It's Lauren Shaw.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Happy after today.
Yes, we've caught Lauren off the back of a 9-0 win over Stuart and double hat tricks for Susan Wyatt and Eva Rule.
Yeah.
Do you not get
I was going to say, did they get to keep the ball or did they get one each?
No, they got a full. That's a bet.
Did you get off? Were you playing yourself, Lauren?
Yeah. I play centre back, so I don't score many goals, to be honest with you, but not many. But we had lots of chances today as well. So
yeah, as captain, right? See, if you'd got a penalty, were you going to step up and overrule and take it yourself when you're doing that well?
Nah, the last person to score the penalty takes the penalty.
Oh, is that who's on the pens for the Falkirk Women's at the moment?
Iona.
Iona.
Yeah.
She been successful then, not missed one yet this season.
Yeah, she's done really well this season. She can always try to add some goals to her season, but she's scored pretty much in every game apart from one, I think. She's done really well.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously, last week we were following the progress of you guys last season, and it was just came down to that last game, and it was so tight. That must have been what were the emotions like after that game?
To be honest, it was like you were gutted. Like we were absolutely gutted. But I think we're a really good kind of squad. We're all like really good friends as well. So I think having everybody so close as well kind of helped bring us back into this season. But it just wasn't our day, unfortunately. And we need to do it this season. It's pretty much need to go for it.
So you're, as far as I can see at the moment, Lauren, you're fourth in the league, is that right?
Yep. So I think we've lost one, two, and drew one.
Yeah. Who are going to be the main challengers this season?
So far, Edinburgh Cali gave us a really good game. The first game of the season, we got beat off them. I think Forfar are doing quite well. We beat Steny.
Well, there you go. That's that.
To be honest, I did think it kind of be like us, kind of Steny, St Mirren. But I played them both and we beat them both. But I thought maybe Edinburgh Cali, I would say right now, as it stands, we've not played really many teams yet. People have new players in, like ourselves, so.
Yeah,
you have to take every first game as it comes, don't you? And then from there, see what your kind of challenges are.
I love that, getting the football quiches in already. Take every game as it comes. Love that. There's 11 teams in the league. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it? Do you play each other twice then, or is it two or three?
I think we play them to each other twice in a league splits.
Right.
The top half and the bottom half. That's what happened last season.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Now, I believe I've heard on good authority that you are the Tom Tyau of the Falkirk women's team. Is that right, Lauren?
Does that mean I like to slide tackle you?
Yeah, it does.
Yes. Well, I do. I don't know. I seem to just slide tackle most games. That's kind of how it works.
Right. So, you play centre half then. Do you enjoy playing that position?
Aye, I love playing there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've not always played there, to be honest. I'd say only kind of this, the kind of last season and the season before I played centre half. I used to be a fullback. And oh. then before that, I kind of played more attacking. Like, but as you get older, you kind of make your way back, don't you? So.
Well, I never like to give away a lady's age, but I did hear an interview with you, Lauren, ahead of the, of this year's this season, saying that this could be your last season in the navy blue.
Possibly. I don't know. I'm 36 now, so.
Oh, see, you well, you've done it yourself now.
I think it depends how fit I stay, and I'd love to do another season if I can, but we'll see. My little one, my wee boy, plays as well, so he plays He plays for Scotland Boys Club Academy.
Oh, wow. Oh, fantastic.
So kind of that's the reason I kind of moved, took a wee step down to play at Falkirk as well, so if he can go and see him playing as well. So,
oh, where were you beforehand, Lauren?
I played for Garkhairn.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
And I came to Falkirk last season.
Yeah, are you from the area then?
St. Cumberland, kind of just 15 minutes away.
Yeah, so presumably not a Falkirk supporter growing up.
I'd say I've kind of followed him. My dad's from like Cowie, through near Stirling.
Oh, right, yeah, brilliant.
He used to play for, I don't know, could be lying, but if he used to play for a kind of junior team over that way, I'm not kind of sure. But my dad's always kind of followed Falkirk as well, so he was quite happy when I said I was going to sign at Falkirk.
Oh, brilliant. And was your dad that got you into it then? Was it, did you just want to follow in your dad's footsteps, or did he take you to games, or?
No, I think when I was younger, my mum never wanted me to play football. She wanted me to go dancing. And then, I thought I'd done both. And then, as I got older, like, sort of gave up the dancing, and I still played football. My dad kind of did come and go, but I played with a boys team for quite a long time, and then you move on to girls teams, don't you? And it gets bigger, but it's about.
Then just realised how much you love slide tackling as opposed to pirouetting.
Lauren, you mentioned obviously a really good camaraderie between the team members. How do you keep that going? Just like obviously, and I know in the sort of the men's professional game, I'm sure you have the odd night out and stuff like that as well. But is it the same for yourselves?
Yeah, to be honest, like I'd say now sometimes when you've got a theme is like certain groups and all that you go into, but our team's like a wee fan. Honestly, everyone is like gets on really well. I'll get each other's back, but we kind of have a night out quite regularly, mostly try and stay at a Friday, sometimes Sunday after the game, just depends, but honestly everyone's just like dead, everyone's really nice and always get your back pretty much.
Yeah, you seem to be flying at the moment, Lauren. Who are the kind of standout players? I mean, looking at the squad, who are the kind of standout players? Do you think any of the current crop of women will go on to a higher level?
I would say so. Our goalkeeper, Rachel, she's excellent. Best goalkeeper I've seen, ever.
Really?
I think she's fantastic. We've got Iona, who plays in the middle. She's only just turned 20. She's something else. She could probably play a few leagues up, I'd say. So she could probably go further. If we keep going up, then she'll obviously stay with us, hopefully. But
yeah,
I would say, yeah, she's going on. There's a few wee kind of youngsters coming in as well. They're kind of just finding their feet in the team. But I say there's a good few girls with Ellie as well. She's kind of just came back this season. She's a wee talent as well. So we've got quite a good few players. A lot of us are a wee bit older as well. So just kind of more looking to enjoy your football. But still, you don't want to get beat, obviously. No, so you still want to win your games. But there's a lot of youngsters coming in as well now. And still girls at like 25, kind of 20, 25 to 28. Still plenty of future, I mean.
Yeah. And if this is to be your last season, Lauren, would you think about moving into coaching management yourself?
I coach at Scotland Boys Academy just now.
Amazing.
So I coach there. And I work full time. I've got a family. I've just got married 6 weeks ago. So as well.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. So yeah, just I'm always busy.
So well, I'm going to say potential future Falkirk women's manager.
Don't know if Craig would like saying that, but maybe.
I'm not going to put them out of a job, you know what I mean? For any focus sport listening, it's normally a Sunday you play, Lauren, isn't it?
Yeah.
Down at the stadium. Is it about 2 o'clock roughly, or is it?
Yeah. Our kickoffs are 2 just now. When we're at home, obviously when we're away, they do vary depending on the opposition, but
yeah,
you should come down and watch. We've got a good team, we play good football, and score some nice goals.
Well, we certainly will be down there, and the women's team doing as well as the men's team at the moment, so long may that continue. Listen, really appreciate you coming in. We'll put any time, obviously, we see the women are playing, we'll get up on our socials, so everyone get as many Bairns along supporting the women as we possibly can, because hopefully this is going to be the season that they're going, after the heartbreak and misery of the, that last game last season, hopefully this season is the season that the girls are going to go up and do it. So Lauren, thank you so much for coming on Falkirk Daft. I'd love to speak to you again if that's all right.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me as well.
Brilliant, thanks so much.
Yes, Lauren
Shaw there, captain of the Falkirk women's team.
Bye.
Thank you so much for Lauren Shaw, captain of the Falkirk women's team, for coming on. I've not been down at a Falkirk women's game yet, Ross. I definitely need to get down because the girls are absolutely fine. That 9-0, for goodness sake.
Fantastic, isn't it? Absolutely fantastic.
Unbelievable. So, get down if you can, like Lauren says, Sunday, 2 o'clock. They're normally at the stadium for the home games, and follow them. We'll obviously retweet all their stuff as well, so keep an eye out for them. We've held back long enough. We need to talk about Callum Morrison's strike, don't we? So let's get on a couple of boys who are in the Ultras. They've made a big difference this season, I think you'll agree. So let's get them on. Let's chat about the game against Montrose yesterday. So please welcome to Falkirk Daft, it is Will Adam and Darren Baird. How you doing, boys?
How you doing?
Not too bad, my man. How you?
Excellent.
First question, did I speak to any of you when I was at Kelty when I was in amongst it?
Oh, I couldn't just stay yourself, John.
Brilliant. Great.
I wouldn't mind you.
Still didn't get a turn on the drum right enough. Still gutted about that.
I tried to get you to play the drum, John, but you kept running away from me.
Can you make it happen, Darren? Aye.
Oh, absolutely, mate. Come in any time.
Brilliant. Love it. Let's get your Falkirk stories, because like every guest pundit that we get on, we like to get their stories. Let's start off with you, William. We've had your dad, Stuart, on here, who is obviously very involved with FSS and the Ken McAllister stand stuff as well. Presumably, you went to your first game with him. When was that?
I can't remember my first game, but it was just since I was born there. Born in Falkirk, and we moved abroad after a couple of years, but for as long as I can remember, I was going to Falkirk games, sat in the main stand with my dad, up at the back row. After abroad, we've never seen properly, but it was just going to games and then coming back from abroad, we were back home seeing the family, but up to the Falkirk games every time we could. But I just kept on from there, and I go, we kind of get the bus now with the boys after we were back home. That's when you normally go to sitting in the south stand, Kevin McAllister stand there. With Roman Barbas every week, so now it's a lot more blinking rock nowadays, best.
I think you're probably the first pundit we've actually had on that's not experienced brought for Ross, isn't that? Is that probably right?
Yeah, maybe.
One of the few. So, like, obviously, you know, you're a younger lad, Dan and William. Who are your favourite players?
As the all time master, but Lappi for me.
Lappi
or Matinho. I love Matinho as well. Pedro Matinho.
Oh, Pedro was brilliant, really. Pedro.
Definitely Matinho.
What about you, Dan?
So, I've only started going to Falkirk games for about 10 or 11 years now. Mostly started away games because I just did not like the new stadium at all. Never experienced football, same as Will, but just been there a few times at the start and I just couldn't stand it. Just thought it was a soulless pit. I mainly started going, I think, 2013, tail end of 2012. And it was away games for about the first 2 years. Then started going to Falkirk Stadium. But you know, if I get the joy to take my wee boy, he loves it. Don't know how, but he absolutely loves it.
I tell you one thing though, guys, it's not a soulless pit now, honestly. What a difference.
Yeah, listen, boys, we talked about it. I mean, he's made so much difference this season to the stadium. I mean, you could even tell, you see yesterday when we were down 1-0, you boys were on it, you're getting behind the team, and it just raises the... I'm sure every time the Falkirk players have scored, they're rushing over to you boys as well, because you are making such a big difference in that stadium, you know. Like Dan said, it very much has been a soulless pit at times, you know what I mean? I mean, remember, you know, when we've had some great moments in the stadium, but... you know, and we're having great moments at the moment, but you boys are really making that happen. So, you know, all credit to you, absolutely all credit to
you. It makes a difference, it makes a big difference here, because, you know, say this time last season, if we were nil-nil at half time, we're 1-0 down straight after the second half. It's the first thing the Falkirk fans would do straight on the back, the team's back, shouting, booing, all sorts, and the team just crumbles after you do that. Because, I mean, I think it was the Montrose manager's interview after the game. Yesterday was he made a comment about trying to get the fans to turn against the players, because that's how that's been talking for a part.
Yeah.
So the big difference this season, I think, is just instead of booing, you know, the norm for Falkirk fans, instead of getting on the team's back and just complaining all the time, it's just banging the drum, getting a bit of noise, going to encourage them. I mean, not see when we went 1-0 down, there's a bit of booing filled up, but then after that, the whole stand, that's what, you know, kicked us up the arse a bit to start to get the chance going even more.
I think it was mainly more today for you that the booing was. To be fair, I don't think it was like the decisions and stuff, but I don't think it was that much frustration.
Yeah.
I did keep in a wee bit, but you know, part and parcel of no playing the best football today.
Some cracking new songs as well. Who's the main songwriter?
Oh, yeah, it's my Steven on the bus, eh?
So it's not like a Liam Gallagher kind of, you know, or a McCartney and Lennon kind of situation going on in the bus, no?
No, that's, I mean, there's a couple of boys that just sit in a dark room for ages to figure out a song, but mostly it's just what we think of it, just tops your head, it just comes out, eh? So
it's good
we
stuff.
I think you more and more, but there's too many, no, I can't even mind the worst of most.
I know, I was in amongst, when I was in amongst the Kelty, I was like, my mate, because he'd just come up for Shrewsbury, like, and he had any, he's like, what's this song? I was like, I didn't go, let's just go fucking go with it. Let's go with it. So, I know, absolutely brilliant. Listen, let's talk about the game then. Falkirk 3, Montrose 2, and what a game it was. Big change, the only change from last week against Kelty when we scuffed them 5-1 was Big Alfie Agyeman coming back in place of Ethan Ross, which I think Ross is probably, you saw it happen, if Agyeman's fit, he's going to go into the team, isn't he?
Yeah, for me, definitely. I think we saw at Kelty that the difference that Agyeman made when he came on. And it's not that Ethan Ross is a bad player, far from it. I think he's going to be a brilliant, brilliant player for us, but he's probably not quite fit. And he's not used to the kind of the team yet either. But yeah, getting Agyeman back in, you saw the difference. He just players just bounce off him when he's got the ball and he's running towards the goal. So no, it's not easy change for me. Felt a bit sorry for Ethan Ross. I thought he did okay at Kelty, but yeah. Agyeman's a difference maker.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And obviously got man of the match yesterday as well. Started off like we have done, William, like out the traps again, big Hendo with a hit in the bar early on. You're just thinking, here we go again.
I know. It's frustrating, eh? Because he had a good two or three chances he had, but he said that he didn't the body, shouldn't the body. But I think that'll be straight in a week now, I think, because the amount of chances he gets in there. He should be been like, he should be putting away more, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, it was a slow first half. I think we were struggling a bit, had chances, but I think overall, I'd say Montrose was a better team in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, Hendo, like you said, he had the header off the bar, and then he had another one straight at the keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet first half, Darren. What'd you put it down to?
Probably a bit of complacency coming off the back of a 5-1 win at Kelly, thinking. Maybe do the same to Montrose, but it was always going to be a hard game. I said it before the game, it was a big game of the season, but people were telling me it's not really a big game. They've been playing some good football the past few weeks. See, I watched some highlights in that yesterday, and they've not been playing bad football, and I don't think they've done themselves any injustice.
Had they not won 3 on the bounce prior to playing us as well?
Yeah, they had. I mean, they were the form team in the league. Yeah, they were the form team in the league. I mean, Kane Hester seems to be making a big difference for him. We spoke about him last week, and he hit the bar, and like it was a ping, by the way, and you just thought, Jesus.
I shot myself when I seen it. It looked like it was going miles over,
eh?
And then
it just... We were like...
The keeper banged off the bar, eh?
I know. Again, Sam Long had another good save as well. Big save as well after the breakdown. Left. Again, Hester was at it again with that as well. He was a right pain in the arse. Wouldn't mind signing him if we go up this season, actually. It looks like he could be do a job. I mean, the first half, like you say, it was poor. I mean, there was chances, you know, Donaldson was all over the place. He just strolling forward and hitting everyone yesterday. What was going on?
I know, I think he's got a ping on him though as well. See that chance he had in the first half, I think it was.
Aye, just
35, 40 yards out. He might have been close to it. It was just past the post. But I like that with a centre back. Tom Lang started doing it as well yesterday. I thought there was one point in the second half
he was like, what are you doing?
I was standing at the corner flag.
we were talking about this last week or the week before. I don't know what you boys think. I think Donaldson, see, since, like, obviously, McGinn's probably not going to play much, if at all, this season, right? I think Donaldson's took the captain's armband, and it's made him more confident. He's got something about him. He's leading the defence rather than sort of anything else now. So, what's your thoughts?
I think Donaldson as a player has got quite a big ego. I think you know that at Inverness and Dundee United, I think he was the same. He's a player with a big ego, so I think, like you say, he's giving him the armband was a perfect thing for him because he stood up to the plate and it just suited him. It suits his personality, I think. And he stood up to the mark. So
yeah, no, I mean, like you say, they just seem to be two of them seem to be strolling out of defence. I don't think they'll have the same opportunity on Saturday, but I mean, apart from that, though, there was very much there was a little. It just didn't feel like we were at it. And I think what Dan was saying, just that there was a little bit of complacency, maybe, that it's set in off the back of Kelty. Nesbitt obviously went off in the first half. What a stupid tackle that was to injure himself.
Aye, was daft. What was it? It was a bit the right-hand side, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I got to remember, I was thinking to myself before I came on, I said, you always talk about bits of the games, but I've had 5 pints of four every game, so I can barely mind it.
I was surprised that I was like, they're bringing on Gary Oliver. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I think, you know, that, Ross, you were in the same boat as me thinking, what, Oliver? What, really?
Yeah, do you know, I know he got injured and it was a bit of a silly tackle. He wasn't playing well. Like,
no, he wasn't.
Anyway, like he'd been, we called it last week. He was brilliant against Kelty, but yesterday he just never got going at all, and he lost the ball quite a bit. So when he went off, I actually thought we might correct the situation here. But he brought Gary Oliver on and said, I thought he might bring Ethan Ross on, and then maybe put Aggie Man centre and put him out there, but. Gary Oliver, for as much as he's quite a quiet guy, and he did quite well yesterday. He put the ball a good number of balls forward, spraying passes, got a very important equaliser as well.
Yeah, I mean, he did, you know, Gary Oliver, he does a lot of things off the ball. If you watch Gary Oliver's movement and his hold up play is excellent. He's got a real smart football intelligence about him, Gary Oliver. He played an argument at one point who scuffed one past the post as well. But yeah, I think it's just because he's not a very, I guess, popular, I don't want to say popular footballer, but you know what I mean? He's not one of these names that you go get excited about, Gary Oliver. But say, like last season as well, he does a really good job for the team. Yeah.
Because he's a striker, eh, but I think he fits that number 10 even better. I think Folk kind of got on his back because he's a striker but doesn't score goals. But he's went to assist, and I thought last season, see a lot of the goals we scored, he was involved in about 9 or 10 of them. I think at some point in the play, he was involved in them. So yeah. It makes things happen. So.
I mean, in that first half, I don't know what you guys are thinking, but I went into that first half going, we need more. I thought Brad Spencer was. Very poor. That was one of the poorest games I've seen them have yesterday. I thought he was really poor. I thought McKeever, was not. I don't know how many touches he had in that first half. And I thought Callum Morrison was really, really quiet, but that certainly changed in the second half, Ross.
It did. Yes, no, we did get more out of everybody, I'm sure. John McGlynn gave him a bit of a kick up the arse at half time. Obviously, it didn't happen. In terms of us getting the first goal. But even when we went behind, which was atrocious defending, but even when we went behind, as Will said and Darren as well, you just felt the crowd didn't react too badly in the most. We were up for it. The boys got the fans going as well. And there was just I just felt like a goal was coming.
Constantly. Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly we came out flying. I don't know if you remember the chance. Morrison went down the right, pulled off a great ball into the box for McKeever at the back post. But you know, we started off, but then obviously they got the goal. It seemed to me, Darren, they were targeting Finn Yeats all match, going down that the left hand side.
Constantly. I think they were just trying to unsettle him because they know it's his natural position. But time and time again, the boy's shown that he can play there. He can play anywhere in the park.
Yeah.
That's obviously been their plan, just to try and unsettle him at the start, try and nitpick at him. One mean mistake can cause somebody to have a terrible game, so...
Yeah, who do you think was at fault for that Montrose goal? I mean, it was a good take from the boy, to be fair. You know, he strolled in and it was a good wee finish from Blair Lyons. He's a decent player as well, by the way. Where are you putting the blame on that goal, boys?
It seemed like it was like last season's defender, maybe, but, you know, standing off and then all of a sudden he's got 10 yards of space to put it in the bottom corner. So I think that's a collective thing. Folk not making their mind up who's closing them down, and then he's just gliding straight past you. So
it started in the midfield as well. Like it would probably be quite easy to blame Yeats or Donaldson, but actually in the middle of the park, as we had done in the first half, Henderson wasn't unfortunately at it. Spencer wasn't at it. Nesbitt was obviously off by this point. So it was just a series of errors and people just not going to the ball. And you saw John McGlynn. Obviously, we're a bit closer to John McGlynn in terms of where we sit. And he looked at Paul Smith and you can just tell everything they talked about at halftime was now like out the window. So, but we, as you said, John, we got going again, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a big after that goal, and there was a real kind of urgency about our play. It seemed to give us a right good kick up the arse, to be honest with you, because we put so much pressure. We're pressed really, really well from that point on. And I was just like, you know, we need to capitalise upon this pressure. We had Cole with a going, you know, for the free kick, with Cole just going wide with a header, you know, another header from Hendo. I don't know how many headers he has from corners, by the way, yesterday. And it was just straight at the keeper, and you're like, right, we need to score now, we need to score. And the goal came just as it was turned. Again, Agyeman gave them a hell of a game yesterday, absolute nuisance. The turn and the shot, keeper didn't have a great game for Montrose yesterday. He had a couple of decent saves, but like he just spilled it, and it was Gary Oliver just to prod it home, which was brilliant.
Good mental. I mean, when we scored that, I was after Williamson because he was getting his pelters. It was like, the 2 minutes in, he was up at the section in the south stand just getting his shouting all sorts of us. And then as soon as we scored that, I was straight down trying to get towards him.
He's an absolute dickhead. I know we're going to talk about Ryan, but you've got me wind up a bit.
I was speaking to Peter Head away because he wasn't in the squad, but I was speaking to him. I said, he's actually quite a nice guy. And I felt for him a bit. I don't like getting on a player's back straight away when they're still playing for your club because you still want them to do your turn. And he started the semi-final for us, so I was trying to give the benefit of doubt a wee bit, but see, after that,
apparently he's a lovely, lovely guy, Ryan, but obviously he was getting it tight from minute one yesterday. So we get the goal, you know, Gary Oliver, you know, like I was saying, why is he on the park? But there he was, right place at right time. That's kind of his football brain coming through, because he just knew where the ball was there, and he just, you know, lovely scrappy goal. I love a big scrappy goal like that. It's the kind of goal you want to see Ross McKeever. Again, I thought McKeever was quiet yesterday and he should have scored.
But John, he does a lot of McKeever again yesterday. As much as he was quiet in front of goal, I thought he did a lot of the dirty work as well. Like he's if the ball's ever put in, it's his head that's on it and he's flicking it on to either Agyeman or Morrison. And
he had to score that chance that came over from Morrison, that cross from Morrison. That should have been should have made it 1-1 before Gary Oliver turned it on. I thought he needed to score that, but you know, like you say, he's done it. You know, when he first came in, I don't know what you guys were like, but I was a bit like, right, okay, you look at his goal scoring record, but he has been really, really good for us.
He's got it by that though.
I think he had
the same chance against Kelty last week as well. And then it was like Brad Spencer put it into him, and it was the same kind of chance at the front post. But he's got to put that past the keeper. It's 2 weeks.
Got to buddy that.
Aye, you had a great view of it. I thought he seemed to buddy that. But listen, we got the goal anyway. Penalty comes. At first, everyone's like, "What's that penalty?" I was like, why is that being given as a penalty? Because it looked like a perfectly good tackle from Sean Dillon. You go back and see it. I mean, you've the way the handball rule is now, you've got to feel sorry for the guy. He slid down, the ball's come off his hand, you know. I mean, like...
Is that why it was given?
I've watched the highlights back and I didn't see that. I didn't realise it was a handball. Yeah,
I only noticed it earlier as well. I thought it was just a really good dive, a terrible dive.
Well, that was my thought as well, because like even when you watch it back, Spencer like goes down as if he's been shot in the face, and then as soon as he's heard the ref's whistle, he's kind of went, "Alright, I'm up, fine, we're good."
I'm pretty sure it's given for the handball, but a lot of Montrose supporters disgruntled because obviously one of their boys was up the other end of the park injured, and everyone's like, just play on, go for it. And we get the penalty. Callum Morrison on it. I don't know why I thought he was going to miss it on Saturday. I just thought, he's missing this. I mean, you boys obviously have more confidence than us, yeah?
No.
Right, I'm always...
I just looked at him and I was like, here we go. He's going to place this over the ball. And that's it.
You know,
definitely go down.
Darren, I thought I fucked it because I had pre-written the tweet before the penalty was scored. And I turned around to John and went, I've already done the tweet.
See that sound when it goes in off the post as well. Oh, like the Bob McHugh... honorary post that went in off it as well, you know, and it's certainly just beautiful. Great penalty, Callum Morrison. I hate the run-ups, but listen, stay on the penalties as long as he possibly can, though, because he's cracking away. And I tell you what, Callum Morrison, I don't know if you guys can hear it, he's great at sound effects. See, any time he gets hit by a player, you just hear him go, ow! Like, I don't know. His sound effects are absolutely... I think that's why he wins as many fouls as he did, because he just shouts out at the top of his voice, "Aye, you bastard!" You know what I mean?
Although the boy should have got a red card against Morrison yesterday.
He was very... He was quickly taken off after that. Yeah. When I think
it's Pete everything you need to know when you get shook off straight exactly. After it.
Aye, he was straight off after it. But yeah, the thing is, though, we switched off again. I don't know if it was the subs or what happened, but everyone just seemed to switch off, and then the set they go in to get the equaliser. You know, like, obviously, big questions, was it a penalty or wasn't it? Even looking back on it, I don't know.
Right on the line, and I think when I watched that as well, I think it was a penalty, to be honest. It's definitely a foul. The question was it in or out of the box? But I think just inside the box.
I think if it was outside the box, the keeper's getting sent off.
That was going to be my thinking as well. Had it been outside, the double jeopardy thing wouldn't have happened. So we would have lost the keeper. Granted, Hogarth was on the bench, but going down to 10 men could have been a different outcome yesterday. So
I don't think we'd have won at that point.
Yeah, no. I'm glad it was a pen, as it turned out, and. Obviously, I don't think he dived the other way, so he wasn't close to saving it. But even when that went in, though, I still felt there was a goal in us, definite.
Definitely,
I
mean, that's a good thing about the team, because you just constantly feel that there's a goal coming, no matter when it is.
That's it. I mean, 86 minute equalised, and you're thinking, fuck. But, you know, it's a different side, it's a different Falkirk. We're feeling Bob McHugh... There's the feeling of that Houston side that just kept going and kept going into the last minute. We saw it so many times in that season, and this just feels like it as well. I mean, Cole Donaldson really should have equalised. He had that, again, striding forward, big Cole was at it. The wee back heel into his path, and you're just thinking, hit it low and hard, son, hit it low and hard, and he's absolutely skied it over, and you're thinking, at that point, I actually thought the game's done.
See, if he'd have burst the net there, I actually think his momentum would have taken him into the Kevin McAllister stand. He would have ripped the shirt off. He'd have been in there, whacking the drum.
But I mean, big call. You just watch, because he'd been at it all game. You're just like, the goal's coming. And just, you could see it in his eyes. You could see the headlines being written there. And he just absolutely blows it off the bar. But Luckily, we have Kyle Morrison, ladies and gentlemen. Like, oh, I mean, he pulls one out the bag there. Jesus, you guys would have had an amazing view of it flying in.
Oh, it was amazing, eh? It was one of these last-minute goals. It's like, you know, you forget to celebrate for a second because you're in shock for a minute, and then you start going mentally. It was like one of them. But
it's one of those ones where, Dan, I'm sure you as well are saying, did that just go, like you say, did that just go in? Is that in?
I had no idea what was going on. I was playing the drummer, I had no idea what was going on next thing I know. Honestly, my little boy, he was about 3 rows down when it's all blocked off at the front. He was down there, he was in the floor.
Brilliant. See, because it is like, you're right, well, there's that moment of, wait, it is in eight, and then you go mental. And it was obviously a brilliant moment because even like, granted, we're all not in the old fogey category. Well, I hope we're not. But like, it was limbs, even in the main stand as well. Like, legs everywhere. It was brilliant. Absolutely. And then they ran towards the home dugout, which is like a first, because they never go near the main stand normally.
It was amazing. Like, the whole team basically ran over apart from obviously Brad Spencer, who cupped his ears to Ryan Williamson.
Yeah,
no, it was. Listen, we need it. Like, again, you know, we talk about Hamilton. We just need to win every game, and I've said from the start of the season, we need to win every game at the season, every game at the stadium. We need to that, and then we just need to go away and, you know, and it's not, a draw is not enough. When Hamilton are doing what they're doing, you know, this is unprecedented, because like last season, we would be scooshing it at the moment. Do you know what I mean? We'd be 7 points, 8 points clear. We'd be absolutely scooshing it. But this season, Hamilton are just no blinking at all. Absolutely. And it's like, it obviously sets up, we'll talk to Ben from Only Aki's podcast later on the show, but it's just, no one's blinking, man. It's just horrendous. Horrendous.
It's exciting, though.
I could be quite happy being bored, though, Ross. Do you know what I mean? If they just started losing games, I'd be quite happy with that.
Definitely.
You know, like,
they pumped Aaron there, put 5 past Aaron, that's convincing win. But other than that, like, we're pumping teams, we're putting 4 or 5 past teams every week. Hamilton are getting 1-2-1s, 1-0s, 2-0s, and that kind of thing. So they'll be shiting themselves more than us.
I don't know, but boys, I'm fucking shiting myself. I'll be honest with you. I'm shiting myself.
No, listen, they have more. They should be worried, and they will be worried. They're coming to our stadium next Saturday. The place is going to be rammed. It's going to be bouncing. It's on the telly. Brilliant.
We're all going to be steaming, by the way, as well, because it's another 5:30 kickoff.
You should be bad for them, John.
Aye, you remember running for your lift at Kilty? You went sprinting past me. I thought you were about to run into a parked car.
But I just get more. Thanks for the concern, Dan. Thank you very much. It's. I mean, the walking at that stadium on Saturday, it just felt different. This season felt different. I mean, I kept saying that, making the point that. And I made it again, like, these are the games, the Queen of the South game, the game we've just had against Montrose, that's what wins the league. That those points, those last-minute goals, that pushing to the end, that's what wins you the league. And I just hope we can keep that momentum going. And, like, John McGuinness has a terrible record. Doesn't matter if he's been at Falkirk, doesn't matter if he's been at Wraith, of not winning the big games. Saturday's huge. Saturday's fucking... massive, and you just hope. And I think the players on the park will help them get over this, because they're all winners on that park. You know, the absolutely every single one of those boys, whether it be Agyeman, Morrison, as we saw, there's a match winner on every single one of those players on the park, I think. And I just hope they can do it.
When was the last time we could say that as well?
Exactly, you can't say that. Listen, let's see if John McGuinness had a smile on his face as he caught up with the boys after the game yesterday.
John, a dramatic end to that game, end to end, and it looked like it was going to be point shared until the very last minute. How do you sum that up?
It's a wonder goal at the end, isn't it? It's an absolute wonder goal. Callum can produce these moments. He's got them in his locker. A goal fit to win any game, but I think first half I thought was probably even. I thought that both teams had chances. Sam's made a couple of good saves. Both teams have hit the bar. They've cleared balls. Had some good balls in the box. Just a wee bit unlucky, you know, getting the goal that I thought we deserved in the first half. However, start of the second half, we went down this end. Great ball in the box, just about score from it, and then from that they break up the park. A little bit concerned about the defence that we allowed the lad to come inside, 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 which is something that we don't want. And it opens up the goal for the shot, and it's a good strike, fair enough. But then the team showed great character. I thought we dominated the game after that. We went for the equaliser. We get the equaliser. Again, there's a good move involved in it. Alfie's, swivelled in the box, shot. Gary's here to put it in, and it was no more than we deserved. I thought we deserved to be at least on level terms, and we went for what I was hoping was going to be the winning goal, the second goal, and another really, really good move. Brad Spencer's involved with Ross McIver at the edge of the box, bounced a 1-2, which is something we work on, and maybe it's a bit unfortunate for Sean Dillon that the ball comes on off his arm, but we get the penalty. And Callum sticks it away, so Callum getting himself 2 goals today. And then, of course, there's a penalty at the other end. 2 each, you're thinking, I honestly felt we were a better team second half. I felt they maybe had 2 chances and they got 2 goals from it. Whereas I thought we were creating chances all the time. And to pop up with that goal so late. But it's not a coincidence, it's no an accident. It's something that we do. Like the last game here, against Queen of the South, we score very late in the game, we keep going right to the end. We've got good players, we've got goals, and 3 goals today again at home, 3 goals, another 3 goals, 23 goals in 8 games, it's a good record. And Montrose came into this game on the back of 4 wins, it was another test for us today. Character today, mentally today, first time we went behind, first time we'd even lost a goal at home in the league. So, questions to be asked, the guys to stand up and be counted. We spoke about that at half-time. It wasn't as, dominant a performance as we have had here, which basically every game we've dominated. So it was a right good test today, and we've delivered, we've delivered. We came through the game and we've delivered the result and the performance.
There you go, he's echoing what we kind of said, character in that, getting through it, mentality that the players seem to have this season. You could see he got a big smile from John, eh? He was loving it.
Right. I managed to sound dull as anything, though.
Poor John. You can tell he gets, when the flappy arms go, that's when he's frustrated, and there was no flappy arms. He just had a big smile on his face. What a boy. And listen, like you say, that mentality thing is huge, absolutely huge. And long may it continue. Right, let's see what the rest of the support are saying. Ross, we'll kick off with Grant Thompson. He says, thought the players were getting in each other's way the first half and our passing was not as sharp as it usually is. Took Lions dancing around our defence and screwing us to wake us up. Heads never went down though, and the scenes at the end was like being back at Brockville.
It was. It did feel like that, didn't it? Mark Buchanan, what a show of team mental strength. Previous incarnations of the team would have crumbled.
Yeah. Derek Travis, great dig out from the boys when we weren't firing all cylinders. First touch just wasn't there today. Yeah, there's a lot of sloppy touches. A lot of, usually we're so good at winning those second balls, and it was a bit lax there. But he says, Montrose were very competent in defence and counter-attack with Hamilton very strong in midfield. Does McGlynn keep Nesbitt if he's fit, or does he go all over? It's a good question from Derek. If Nesbitt isn't fit next week, who'd you go with in that role?
You can't drop all over after that performance, I don't think. He's next man on
the
line, actually. Yeah,
Chelsea's chance, I think.
Yeah. You're not tempted to play Agumon one in?
I'd love to see it, to be fair, because he finds himself space, and you can imagine him just driving right up the middle with that, but no one's getting near him, I don't think, so.
I'd be intrigued to put Ethan Ross out wide and put Agyeman one. But I think we carry all of our scoring and yeah. You know, having a relatively good game there on Saturday. I think it's probably his jersey.
Well, we talked about that yesterday, didn't we, John? We thought as when the arms were done with the physio to get Nesbitt off, we thought, oh well, Agyeman, move him in, Ethan Ross, you're fine. But actually, it did work to an extent yesterday. So I think knowing McGlynn, as we probably all do now, he probably will keep Oliver in there, I would think.
Yeah. Derek also ends up his message, and I think this is an autocorrect. He says, Puddings is massive. I'm pretty sure that's meant to be Saturday is massive rather than Puddings is massive. But maybe he's just telling us what he had for his dessert, you know? Who knows?
Could well be, no, Derek. Daryl Mullen was fairly confident we'd still get the result despite the setbacks. Morrison and Spencer stepped up when we needed them. Then there's Williamson. What a gimp. Cheering a 50th minute opener like he'd won the cup. His biggest contribution to us was keeping the physio staff in a job. Well said, Daryl Mullen. Absolutely.
Poor big Ryan, eh? Pam McGilchrist, not a great day at the office, but we kept at it. These are the games that won you the league. Take the words right out of my mouth. Oh, and fuck you, Spaghetti Legs Williamson. Pam was no holding back either.
He's a dick, though. This is, John, this is deserved. He's a dick.
Absolutely. Like,
we tried to not say it when he played with us, but he's a dick. He's a complete waster. Anyway, sorry, I'm ranting again.
Was he in that second minute or something when he went down right in front of us and he's already started shouting at him? He's a big lanky streaky fish.
Exactly.
That's a fire.
Yeah,
Craig Ron.
He probably wound up a bit before the call.
Exactly. Craig Rodden, who John and I know really well, probably one of the more difficult games this season. Their keeper made some great saves. The tampon celebrating when they scored summed him up. Weight-stealing, useless powder puff, twat of a player. I am fucking loving this tonight, man.
Craig Cruikshank said, deserved winners, but made it hard for ourselves. The best thing for us was Montrose taking the lead, it kicked our arse into gear. Chance after chance after that, Morrison, unbelievable. I chatted with Mark, who was on the show last week, who's a Montrose supporter, was there yesterday. He said we deserved a draw. And I went and I looked at the stats.
Who said that? Mark.
Mark, who was on last week, he said, we deserved a draw. I said, are you fucking kidding me? I don't believe this for a second, but BBC said it was 50-50 possession. I don't think that was the case, but maybe I'm wrong. 21 shots to 10, 7 shots on target to 3, 13 corners to 5. There was only one winner, and the only one team that deserved to win that match, and that was Falkirk, without a doubt.
They didn't, John, come to win that game. They shit-fested getting a draw at one point, and thankfully, we came good.
I could bite them in the arse.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great news.
Yes. Sam Balfour, Callum Morrison, the new presenter of the Late Late Show. Montrose are one of the hardest teams to beat in this league, and to show that character after going 2-2 late on is amazing. I haven't seen a celebration like that in a long time at the Falkirk Stadium.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I think Montrose are they are a good team. And like Dan was saying earlier on, They play in a way, they've got some good players on that side. And, you know, I'm hoping that they'll take points off of Hamilton as well.
John, I think they will, though. I think they are a hard team. They will take points.
I think Montrose now will finish in those playoff spots. Cover done. Queen of South probably still have some Aloha. I were in a patchy form as well, but I mean, it's between us and Hamilton now. That's really what it comes to. William Anderson says, a goal fit to win any game. Overall, I thought we deserved to win, but Montrose created some good chances and our defending at the second goal was really poor.
And finally, and I've got a good one because I love reading out this guy's comments. Willie Stroker, who I'm sure, I know who it is. But
Who is Willie Stroker?
So Willie Stroker, tough one, nearly a dry wank, didn't think money shot was happening, but the end result, all the same, and as he always does, Montrose got cummed on.
Right. As ever, thank you, Willie Stroker. I'm going to find out who it is from you, Ross. But thank you, Willie Stroker, for that and your usual contributions to the show. Listen, it leaves this game next week. We're going to, like I say, we're going to speak to Ben Patterson from Only Aki's podcast in just a bit. But looking at that table, there is nothing between. I mean, they've dropped points more recently than us. Is the only thing we've got going for them, which was still an Albion away. I think they dropped their points. Obviously, we dropped ours at Cove, but still the biggest top scorers in Scotland, 23 goals again, or three there at the weekend. They've scored 18. We've got 6 against us, which 2 were conceded there at the weekend, and they've got 4 against them. It's just going to be so tight on Saturday. It's going to be an absolute nightmare. Right. Before we get talk about the Hamilton game, we'll Falkirk Daft rated. Let's go back to Saturday. Who is your Falkirk Daft rated? Ross Wayne.
Rated? Oh, it has to be Callum Morrison after the finish. Agyeman was brilliant yesterday. He really was. But yeah.
The goal got it. It would have been Agyeman up until that goal. What about you, Will?
What about Morrison, eh?
Aye.
So I give it to him every week, but you can't pick him over him after that. So.
Full house, Darren?
No, I'm giving it to Spencer for the cup in the ears.
fine. Right, Falkirk Dafty, Ross Wayne.
I can't give it to anybody involved with Falkirk, and I'm just desperate to give it to the tampon. It's Ryan Williamson. Fuck off, mate. On you go.
Well.
Spaghetti legs is always good, man.
Spaghetti legs. Darren.
Absolutely, same.
All right, okay. I'm going to step away from Mr. Williamson, and I've got to say, I hope he's all right. The wee ball boy, I don't know if anyone else has seen this, the wee ball boy went to get the ball, and he just went head over heels over the advertising, and all you seen was his wee legs sticking up as he went over the advertising.
When did this happen? I must have missed.
Did you miss that? Me and Fraser here sat beside, we're pissing ourselves, the wee boy just like that, head over heels over the advertising board, and he just saw his wee legs kind of flapping like that. But it was like, he got back up, got the ball, he was like giving the 2 thumbs up, like, I'm good, mate, I'm good. So shout out to the ball boy who did that. But it was classic. Brilliant. Listen, boys. Well, Dan, thanks for coming on the podcast. Really, really appreciate it. And listen, keep that drum beating, keep the ultras going, because like me.
John, when are we going in?
Oh, next away game, next half 5 away game, mate. We're in. We're absolutely all over it. That's just true.
Welcome us just before Saturday as well. As many folk as we can come stand in the section, get involved with it, because you know, we see how the team plays when we get behind them, make all the noise and the colour. So don't feel like you can't come and join in with it. So
exactly. Get involved with the boys in there. Listen, keep it going, because it is really helping the team on the park. I think really it's made a massive difference this season. Listen, if you want to be like Darren or Will, come on the podcast, you can do that. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or pop us an email, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Every week on Falkirk Daft, we like to look ahead to our next opponents, and it is the biggest game of the season. Neck and neck with Hamilton. No one's blinking at the moment. And from the Aki's Only podcast, let's invite Ben Patterson onto the show. How you doing, Ben?
Hi, Ben. I'm good, mate. Thank you very much for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
I said Aki's Only. It's Only Aki's, the podcast.
Only Aki's it is.
Only
mate.
Aki's. Just been nominated for an award as well. Congratulations.
Thank you, mate. We're up for the Football Content Award, Best Club Content Creator in classic kind of Aki style. We're the underdogs. We're up against Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich. So we're going into the Aki style. We're going in as underdogs.
Love that. Well, fingers crossed, managed to come away with a result. That's brilliant news, Ben. Listen, I spoke to you. Was it the pre-season we were speaking, Ben? Yep. And I had said to you, you were very negative. You were saying, listen, we'll be lucky to finish in the playoffs. What the hell has happened to Aki's then? Because you're a positive guy, you are, Ben. You're like, nah, we'll be in the playoffs. But what has happened this season, man?
I think I was riding off the kind of negativity of the end of last season. Now, bear in mind, when I spoke to you, we didn't have the new owners in as well. So that was another big thing. But obviously, when I spoke to you, we were right off the back of losing the playoffs to Airdrie. We knew we were losing.
Let's not talk about playoffs to Airdrie, Ben, please.
Sorry, guys.
We can talk Trump you on that one.
So we just off the back of that, we knew we were losing loads of players. It looked like kind of, well, our captain looked like he was retiring. We were losing a lot of key first team players. A lot of fans obviously were asking for the managers to go as well, obviously. And it was just a kind of really negative space. So when John came into the studio and he was talking about it, I was going, the last thing I want to think about is League One right now. That's the last thing. But see in terms of what's changed, obviously we've got new owners in, which is a big thing now. So Serif Zengin's taken over the club. He's brought a kind of, he's reworked how the board is. So we've got a new kind of board structure as well. He's kept John Rankin, he's trusted John Rankin, and to be fair to him, it's paying off. But he's made a lot of kind of good positive changes off the park as well, which I think has played a big part in the kind of positivity around it as well. But he's also invested heavily into the first team, obviously. A lot of the signings we made are, even though we're in League One, is not the type of signings that we would have made at any other level, really. I think a lot of the players we've signed are probably Championship level. And even, I mean, when we were lining up for our first game, we were, the kind of fans were saying between them, this might be a stronger start 11 in League One than we had in the Championship. So he's invested heavily in the first team. He's brought in a lot of good quality players. And to be fair, they've all gelled very, very quickly. We're playing some good stuff. As you kind of mentioned at the top, it's neck and neck between me and you, all of us in our group chat. We're keeping an eye on the Falkirk score, and it looked so good. It looked so positive right until the end. But I think that's been the big thing, is proper investment into the first team, and obviously a new owner to come and change some stuff behind the scenes as well.
I mean, looking down the players that you have, it's actually really interesting, because like all the kind of players that are doing the business for you are players that have been linked with us. Ewan Henderson, we were apparently in for him. Regan Tumulty, apparently there was two contracts on the table, one for Hamilton, yep, one from Falkirk. We were aware of, obviously, Kevin O'Hara. Jamie Barjonas, I'd heard rumours that we were after him. Dylan Tate was another name. And it just seems to be like looking down, it's like, that's what could have been for Falkirk. I mean, I'm glad that, you know, in ways that we've got the players in the squad that we have. Because like you say, Ben, we're got players in this at this level who shouldn't be at this level. When you look at like Tam Lang, Brad Spencer, players like that, Aguiman could probably play at a higher level as well. Cal Morrison, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you know, like you say, you've invested really into that squad. Who have been the kind of standout players for you this season?
Just before I answer that, just what you were saying about you getting linked with players. I think that's been a really common thing for Aki's in previous windows, as we get kind of names like, you know, apparently we're looking at this guy, apparently we're looking at that guy, and another club always just stumps us.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, when talking investment, I think investment just in probably wages in general has been a big help as well. Getting players like Regan Tumulty to sign against Scott Martin, who could easily be playing at Championship, to sign against, stuff like that. In terms of key players, Scott Martin is one of them.
Yeah,
he's been given the captaincy at the start of the season. He's our most consistent performer, I would say. I don't think you get anything less than a kind of 7 and 8 out of him. He always gives 100%. I think people thought maybe Kevin O'Hara was going to come in and be a kind of real goal scorer, a real kind of key man up top. He's not really fell into that bracket quite yet. I still think we're trying to find the perfect position and the perfect way to play with Kevin O'Hara up top. But I think Ewan Henderson's came into a game the last few weeks. But I think kind of two players that have been kind of quiet standouts as Dylan Tate and Jamie Barjonas. The two of them are just outstanding. Both of them could easily play at a higher level. When Jamie Barjonas first came in, because he was playing part-time football, obviously his fitness levels were quite low, so he was only getting 30 minutes, you know, 50 minutes in kind of pre-season and stuff. And at the start of the season, he was in and out of the team. But since he's got himself fit, since he's got himself playing, he's one of the first names in the team sheet. Dylan Tate kind of came in with, don't want to say shoes to fill, I don't know if that's right, but obviously when we had Connor Smith last season, he was our real talisman in terms of, if any chance you're getting created, it's going to go through Connor Smith. And I think Dylan Tate kind of came in, and I was saying it, I think, as well, and only Aki's, that that's our kind of Connor Smith replacement almost. It looked like we were maybe going to get Connor Smith, but we won't talk about that. But he's kind of came in and filled that void very well. A very gifted technical player, creating chances in the middle. And Jamie, who's been playing out wide actually, has also been very good, very, very good. So I'm happy, man. It's rare.
You look at me. You look at you look while you're toe buzzing. That's
it. Mate, honestly, it's so rare as an Aki's fan. I can say I'm actually really, really happy with how things are going. So
yeah, I mean, James Burgeonis, is. We saw him obviously at Celtic. Like, we've obviously been in this league for some time now. If you do, Ben. So we obviously saw Jamie Burgeonis at Celtic last season, and you know him, and we obviously got Acumen, who's been like a standout for us this season, so it was interesting to see that go away. So is it a 4-3-3 that John Rankin's playing then?
So yes, I think kind of primarily he likes Scott Martin to kind of be a busybody in the middle. So he's very much box to box. He's got McDonald, who kind of likes to sit a little bit deeper, although to be fair, McDonald doesn't mind getting forward. He's predominantly a right back, I think. So he loves kind of going out wide and receiving the ball there. 4-3-3 is the kind of general one. Ewan Henderson's been playing through the middle. This is kind of what I was talking about with Kevin O'Hara. As Kevin O'Hara obviously was starting through the middle, he was our striker with Henderson out wide. Since they've moved them around, though, and O'Hara's been playing on both wings because of his work rate and how busy he keeps himself, he's so effective in terms of winning the ball back high up the park, you know, tracking players back. He's really effective out wide, so that's where he's been playing him. And then Henderson's been our man through the middle with Jamie Burgeonis on the other side.
Ben, just a quick one for me. Obviously, it's been a few years since we had Kevin O'Hara at Falkirk, and prolific he wasn't. In fact, John, you could correct me. I don't actually know if he scored a first-team goal in his time. But in terms of, like, you're right, his work rate was never in question. You could always tell he was up for it. And then he's moved to Alloa and Dunfermline and stuff, and he scored a couple of goals. Do you think you'll get 10 goals out of Kevin O'Hara this season?
I would like to think we would get to, I mean, given how both of us have started this season, I think once we play each other next week, I think that'll be both of us played every single team in the league, and we're both unbeaten, so I think that's a good kind of sign. The problem is he's had chances. It's not as if he's playing in a system where he's not really getting many chances, and so his conversion rate is going to be low. He's getting these chances, he's just not taking them. So right. I think if he can sort that out, I think we will get 10 goals out of him. But I think we need to find just a kind of a system to get Kevin O'Hara in. But you can't change a system to fit a player. He needs to fit our system. So yes, he's playing out wide right now. He's been effective. He's been decent. It's just, he's, like you said, mate, it's just his goal scoring that needs to really improve, because his work rate is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, Joe McGlynn seems to be doing a job for you as well. It's another player that we looked at. I mean, I'm really looking forward to actually on Saturday. It's going to be a really interesting battle. I think whoever wins that midfield battle between Scott Martin and Brad Spencer, I think, is going to be the team that have come out top. I mean, obviously, it's like we've been in this league, and this is obviously the best start we've had in this league, you know. But it's that way, and I was talking about the podcast, watching Welcome to Wrexham at the moment, and they had that season last season where it was like they were going up against it, and you guys are absolutely fine. I mean, when you look at it, you know, we've highest goal scorers in Scotland, I would just like to add at that point. But, I mean, you had this amazing start to the season, Ben, where you just were not conceding. Like, has the defence been where you built from this season?
Definitely, yeah. So, like you said, I think we went four games without conceding. Can't remember which one it was. And that was with second choice goalkeeper in nets as well. Initially, at that point, we had Josh O'Brien and Lee Kilday as our kind of centre-back partnerships. And I think, to be fair to Josh O'Brien, I think he should be a bit gutty because he didn't put a foot wrong. But we signed Dylan McGowan again, who obviously captained his last season in the Trust Trophy final and was a big, big part of that team. So when we re-signed him, he was always going to come back into the starting 11. But our defence has been very, very good. I think we've got two strong centre-backs. Granted, they're not the quickest, but two very strong centre-backs. We've got, I think, the best goalkeeper in the league, and Ryan Fulton now back fit as well, playing every week. And Regan Tumulty is a pretty solid right-back. He loves to get forward. And then Jackson Longridge obviously was playing in the Premiership last season, so it's quite a jump down for him. But he's just another very, very solid option who likes to get forward as well. So, no, I think it is fair to say we've built from the defence, definitely.
Yeah. A resident stat, Donald Johnson's been in touch as ever. Ross, he goes, hi guys, got to comment on Morrison's winner yesterday. We'll get to that in a bit. Absolutely sensational. On to the Hamilton stats. They've only played 7 times at the stadium. And it's pretty even. 2 wins, 3 draws and 2 losses. Our total home record against Accies is better, with 58 wins, 15 draws and only 21 losses, giving us a 70% success rate. Our average Donald's onto the attendances now as well, because he's started this. Our average attendance at the 7 games played at the stadium versus Accies is 3,015, with Hamilton bringing 210. We can expect at least 50% increase on that number on Saturday, even with it being on TV. How many do you think you'll bring through, Ben?
So I know that we've already got at least 3 buses kind of confirmed with it, so there should be a decent number of fans travelling, both on the buses and kind of travelling just like on their own as well. So I think we will take a good few.
Yeah, I think, but I mean, we're looking at over 5,000 for this game, I think, on Saturday, yeah. Even with it on the telly. You know, we've been averaging about 4-2, Ross.
If we're talking about an average, probably about 4-2.
4-2. And I mean, obviously, you guys are the second biggest team in this league, so, you know, hoping to you guys bring a decent attendance, and that stadium will be rocking come Saturday. Is there anyone in the Navy Blue that you feared, Ben?
Well, Morrison, obviously, I think you guys have probably spoken about him already, but we were, I don't know how serious the links were, but we were quite heavily linked with him last season and a little bit over the summer. I really, really like him. I think he's a quality player. I think he's really dangerous. He's somebody that, when we were linked with him, I was really excited to get into our team. Obviously, gutted whenever, but he's a danger. I also really, really like Lang. Again, he was somebody that I wanted Accies to sign in the summer as well. I think he's a really strong defensive option. So I think it'll just be a good game. I think that's what I'm most excited for, is I expect a good game of football to watch. I just hope that we win.
But predictions then, Ben, let's leave it at that.
You know, I've been confident at every single game I've went into this season. But I'm gonna back the team, man. I think we'll win 2-1. Usual score. I think you as well score, but I think we'll have enough. I'll go 2-1.
Yeah. Roscoe?
If I'm being honest, it's the same scoreline, but obviously the other way. So I'm gonna say Burns 2-1. I think Accies have got such a good defensive record. They've only let 4 goals in. I think we're at 6 or something like that, but Accies are at 4, which is really tight. But we do have goals in us. And but yeah, I can see us.
I think it's going to be really cagey. I think it'll be like the first half. I think it'll just be two teams playing chess with each other and feeling each other out, just to try and work it out. I think it'll maybe be a wee sneaky one.
Can I just check? You said feeling each other out. My mind effectively went to John Rankin and John McGlynn there for no reason at all.
Nobody wants to see that. Jesus Christ. but I'm going for a wee sneaky 1-0 win, I think, for the Bairns. But listen, like Ben says, I think it's going to be a really interesting game. And it is, I mean, I think you're probably in this same opinion as us, Ben. It looks like it's just gonna be a 2-horse race now. I mean, it seems that quite, and I'm sure you thought going into the season Queen of the South, Cove are going to be threats, but you know, Queen of the South, I don't know what's happened, the wheels have kind of come off a wee bit there for Big Marvin down there, and Cove, fucking hell.
There's not a more delighted bunch of people than the Falkirk fans that Paul Hartley is cocking this up.
Yes, fucking loving it.
I just
absolutely
hope he's still in
it.
Charge by the time we play them. That, exactly. That's the only thing, because I want Paul Hartley back at the Falkirk Stadium.
Exactly. Listen, Ben, are you going to make it to game and go watch on telly?
No, I'll be there, mate. I'll be there.
Good lad. Listen, hopefully see you at the stadium, and hopefully it's a Falkirk win, but. Best of luck, mate. Best of luck, all right?
Yeah, you too, guys. Thank you.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
That is it, my friends, for Falkirk Daft for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, subscribe, rate, review us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Get the likes up. We need to start beating these Hamilton lot and all that on YouTube. We should put ourselves forward to the football content awards, Ross. Let's do that next season.
How have they managed this? Is this something we need?
You need to nominate yourself and pay money to do all that sort of stuff. So
most of our money goes to the club, doesn't it? So
exactly. So I know. Listen, looking forward to Saturday. We've got a winner of we've done it. There's competitions aplenty running on social media at the moment, but we've got a winner from last week's.
We do. So as everyone will know who watched the episode 2 weeks ago, we had Derek Steele on, who as apart from being an amazing guest pundit, he also very generously offered a £40 gift voucher for the family business, which is Matty and Me, which is like a home furnishings type Facebook page, and they've got the showroom at the house as well. So we asked everybody to share the post, retweet the post, that type of thing. And so earlier, just at the start of the podcast, we drew off Gary Foreman. So Gary shared it on Twitter, X as it's now known, and we'll pass his details over to Derek. So well done, Gary Foreman. You've got a £40 Matty and Me gift voucher coming your way.
Brilliant. Great stuff. So that's us. Huge game on Saturday. I hope this is the big game that John McGuinn's going to win. Because to go 3 points clear into the international break, and then obviously got the Challenge Cup game against Queen's Park, it's huge. If we can get 3 points on the board against Hamilton on Saturday, it should be an absolute cracking game. Really looking forward to it. Are we starting drinking early, Ross? What time are we drinking? Because we normally start...
Well, listen, I think I'll be drinking earlier than you, but it's not going to be in Falkirk. As you'll remember, I'm in Tenerife.
So you are, you're going to... I forgot you're going to be in Tenerife.
I will be watching and listening via Falkirk TV with Sean Eldebrandt in my ears. I'm hoping I hear him go mental as many times.
It might get a pub, Ross, you never know. There's a couple of Scots bars out in Tenerife.
Yeah, well, it is obviously on the BBC, so there's a sporting chance that it might be on in one of the pubs. But because I'm in an all-inclusive hotel, though, I've got a funny feeling I may be on the beer before you. But listen, I echo what the club did last night. Let's get as many folk into the stadium on Saturday as we can. Unlike previous years, I don't see this team, and I hope I don't jinx this, I don't see this team choking when a big crowd is in the grounds. And we've already had 4,100 yesterday. They've not choked so far. Let's get 5,500 in the ground, and we'll give Aki something to think about.
Absolutely. Love it. Well, so, Ross is off next week. We're hoping to have one and only Lewis Connolly will be joining me, hopefully, to review that game. Listen, thanks for your contributions as ever to Falkirk Daft. Remember, if you want merch, get Falkirk Daft merch, for God's sake. You can wear like Falkirk Daft t-shirts and that to the games. Do that, please do. Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. You will find all a range of items from water bottles to baby grows to dog bandanas there. And if we can say all the merch money goes back into the club in one way or another. And you'll see below, you can join our Discord, get involved with that, all the chat goes on in there as well. That is it for Falkirk Daft for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Hamilton, here we come. And until next time.
Expect the unexpected, buddy. Follow the Falkirk Bears.